just like I need you. Hold me, love me, hold me, love me. I ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week, love you every day, girl. Always on my mind, one thing I can say, girl, love you all the time. Hold me, love me, hold me, love me. I ain't got nothing but love, girl. 8 days a week, 8 days a week, I love you. 8 days a week is not enough to show I care. Ooh, I need your love, babe. Yes, you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe, just like I. Show I care. Love you every day, girl. Always on my mind. One thing I can say, girl. Love you all the time. Hold me, love me. Hold me, love me. I ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week.
Beatles, 8 days a week. You're listening to The Ross Owen Show on Black Sky Radio, sponsored by ddhistorian.com. As part of a Band of Brothers cast interview series, we've spoken to 41 members of the cast of Band of Brothers. Today, we have a brand new guest. Stephen Graham played Sergeant Myron Mike Ranney. Ranney was a close friend of Major Dick Winters. And in fact, when you watch the interviews with the veterans that accompany the series, Major Winters talks about receiving a letter from Mike Ranney in 1982. In the letter, Ranney said, "I cherish the memories of a question my grandson asked me the other day when he said, 'Grandpa, were you a hero in the war?' Grandpa said, 'No, but I served in a company of heroes.'" Joining me now is the actor who played Mike Ranney in Band of Brothers, Stephen Graham. Now, we always kick off the Band of Brothers interviews by asking the actors about their audition process and how they got the part. Can you remember your audition?
I can, and it's still very vivid and extremely lucid in my brain. It was in a posh hotel in London, as I'm sure you're aware everyone else has told you. I got a phone call off my agent saying that they weren't giving any sides out, so you couldn't really prepare anything. You have to go to this posh hotel in London, and you would be meeting Tom Hanks and having a little read through, and you'd be meeting Tom Hanks, and then, you know, you'd take it from there. So I'm dyslexic as well, so I was a bit nervous because I hate reading straight away, you know what I mean? It's just cold reading like that, so I was a bit panicky. But I went along to the audition. I got given the sides. I asked if I could have 20 minutes to just go away and have a little look at them, which I did. And apparently, you know, I kind of looked a little bit like this person that they were asking me to play. I didn't even have no idea who I was going up for, to be honest with you.
Right.
And then I went away and I read it, and I read a little bit about Ranney, and I read the sides, and then I went into this big room. And Tom Hanks had a massive beard.
Yeah, from Castaway.
He had a huge beard, and he was there in his comfy top and his pair of jeans. And I said, I had a bit of a cold as well, so I said, "I'm really sorry I've got a cold." He went, "Oh, don't touch me, man. Don't touch me, Dennis. You've got a cold." we'll just say hello from across the room in a nice way, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was it. That was my first audition that I read. put me on tape. He asked me to try it another way and told me a little bit more about the character, which I did. And then that was it. That was my first audition. And then I think I went back a couple of days later, actually, I think it was, and read again with him. And Mr. Spielberg was there then. Yeah, so it was great.
By the time they made Band of Brothers, Mike Ranney passed away in 1988. So obviously you didn't get the chance to talk to him personally. Did you do it? What kind of research did you do for the role? Did you get to talk to any of the other veterans who knew him?
I spoke to his family. I remember there was a phone call arranged, and I think I'm not sure if it was his son or his brother or someone. I did speak to someone. They did manage to get me on the phone with someone. And then obviously there was certain bits of literature. There was the book and everything. And I realised, you know, and I read a lot about the sacrifice that he kind of made for the rest of the company. Do you know what I mean? It was the way he was dishonorably discharged. And it was kind of unfair, I felt. I felt it was a really unfair dismissal. Which so did the rest of the fellas, do you know what I mean? So it was kind of that his dismissal sort of was kind of a catalyst as well for everybody to be galvanized together, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's for those listening, when Lieutenant Winters was court martialed for supposedly not following an order set by Captain Sobel. Mike Ranney and Mike Ranney and the rest of the NCOs made a declaration to no longer serve in Easy Company, which earned him backlash from Colonel Sink and resulted in he got demoted to private. Now, you know, as a little surprise for you, we have actually got Mike's daughter on the line, Kathy. She wanted to call in and say hello, and I think she's got a question for you, and she's going to tell us a little bit about that scene that we were just speaking about, and tell us a bit more about, you know, a more accurate depiction of what really happened. Kathy, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Hey.
First of all, let me very much thank Stephen for his portrayal. My father was an interesting man, and I'm not sure that I can think of many people that could play him. He was pretty headstrong, didn't listen to advice. And I'll touch on that in a minute. And I think you spoke with there are five Ranny girls. I think you spoke with the middle sister, Drew. But I'm
That's right, I did. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I think I did, yeah.
Yes. But, so I have to tell you one thing, though. Sitting at the premiere in the Hollywood Bowl with all of my family, and Ambrose said we were the loudest group because there were 30 daughters, husbands, grandkids of my grandkids.
Wow.
Yeah, and looking at that giant screen and looking at my dad's name on your pocket up there was the most probably surreal experience of my life.
Wow. That's made me exceptionally humble. Thank you so much. That's huge.
Thank you. Ross had mentioned the mutiny, and I just want to mention a couple of things. It was my dad and Salty Harris who was killed.
Salty Harris, that's right.
Right, he was killed in Normandy, that did spearhead it, and they were supported by the NCOs. And my dad expressly was told by Dick Winters not to do that because he was going to sacrifice certainly his rank, if not his career, and maybe his life for mutiny during wartime.
Of course, yes.
My dad was a platoon sergeant. He was not taking his men into battle under a guy that couldn't read a map.
That he didn't trust. Yeah.
No, he just didn't. So what happened is, yes, there was a trumped up latrine inspection time that Sobel said that he changed, but the message never got through to Dick. So Dick didn't show up in time for the latrine inspection. And what you are absolutely right. Sink basically said, you guys, both Dad and Salty Harris were booted out of Easy Company. They were transferred to two separate, I think, A and I. Dad was an I, and I think Salty was an A, still in, you know, the 506, but they put them as far apart as they could. So they were actually removed. But they both ended up going to train as Pathfinders. And my dad, about 2 weeks before D-Day, said, I've got to go into battle with my Easy Company comrades, contacted Dick, and managed to literally get a Jeep ride to the airfield, couple of days before the jump, so he did jump with Easy, but Salty didn't.
Right. Yes. And he went on to take part on the assault at Breakout Manor and was awarded the Bronze Star, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. And I have to tell you, that's probably the second most humbling moment of my life is to my first tour there with Paul Woodedge. He took me there and, I mean, you know, Paul said, we're reasonably certain this is the tree. My dad was a sharpshooter. So he and Carr would rock trees, you know, and literally if, you know, you've been to Breakor, if the Germans had looked up, I wouldn't be here. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't.
That's right.
My dad's job was to pick off as many Germans as he could. And in Dick's book, he said, I wanted my best killers. And one of them was my granny. And that's what you want. That's his job. Mm-hmm. He had to protect his men. So, yes, he got the Bronze Star for Breakor.
We did shoot that stuff in the trees. I remember getting shot at and stuff. And we did. That was part of the story, that the dramatization that we told, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. It was told. And there was also a Valor Studios print that Dick kindly sent me an autographed copy of, you know, about the Breakor Manor. And, you know, it's just amazing, though, when you're there, how small the battlefield is. It looks like it's tiny.
Yeah.
Stephen, have you been to Normandy?
I haven't. I've never had the opportunity. No, I never have. It's one thing I would love to do, obviously, at some point in my life. I would love to go just to pay my respects and, you know, the great men that lost their lives in order so we could have our freedom and we could live the lives that we have today.
Our sponsors on the show is Paul Woodedge, ddhistorian.com. And Paul has an open invitation to you guys. I've been told to tell you, if you ever want to visit Normandy, let me know and Paul will sort you out. He'll look after you over there and you know, take you on tours of the locations, the Band of Brothers locations. He looks after all the Band of Brothers cast when we go over for the reunions over there.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, let me know when the next one is. I'd love to go along. I'd love to take my uncle with me.
Well, you know,
that'd be amazing.
Do you know about Bastogne in December?
No.
Okay. I must tell you then. Okay, we're doing another reunion in Bastogne in December this year. I mean, we've got a whole lineup of cast members coming. Jimmy Maddio's coming over, Ross McCall, Robin Lang, Philip Barantini's coming. It's in aid of the World War II Foundation. If you want, I don't know what your schedule's like for December. I know you've got stuff coming up, but if it's something you'd be interested in coming along.
What's the actual date?
I think it's December 9th to the 11th. It corresponds with Nuts Weekend.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, I mean, I know I'm filming, but no matter what, I've got plenty of notice. I'll just insist. I'll do it. I've never done this before. I've never behaved like a diva, but I will insist. Oh, it's not really in my nature, but now I will insist that I have them days off, and I'd love to come along. I'd love to take my uncle.
Oh,
with me.
Fantastic!
Amazing.
Okay, well, let me take care of that. I'll speak to Tim, and
you
join your brothers over in
amazing.
Bastogne.
Yeah, you've got all my details anyway, haven't you? So you can let me know everything, and we'll keep in touch. Oh, that'd be amazing! I'd love to do that. That would be an honour. An absolute honour.
Fantastic. It's a great experience as well. And Kathy, you're hoping to come along as well, aren't you?
I am hoping to come along. And it would be wonderful if you could, Stephen. I appreciate Tim Gray bringing the Band of Brothers to Bastogne, because Dad did not fight in Bastogne because he was on a hospital ship on his way home. But yeah. I love the area. And you will have another fantastic guide in Bastogne. Reg Jans is the best guide for there, and he will take care of you just the way Paul did. But yeah, if you could come, and it really honors, I think, the men at the Battle of the Bulge, which was so horrific. So I really commend Tim Gray for taking this reunion, what's been done in Normandy, and bringing it to Bastogne. Oh, the Belgian people and the Dutch that are nearby are just overjoyed to have a real spotlight shine.
Yes,
on,
of course.
On
yeah, such a huge important battle as well. Yeah, definitely. Being honest.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted about that, Stephen. That's not a problem at all.
I feel like I'm on Cilla Black surprise here. There's loads of great.
You're about to get another one. Kathy, I was telling Stephen that Eric Idle from Monty Python had put out a tweet saying how great an actor Stephen is and that he was brilliant as Al Capone. you've got something to say, haven't you, about that?
Yes, and Stephen, I am not laughing at the fact that you're brilliant at playing Al Capone, but I do have a funny story, which is a compliment to both you and Tom Hanks. I met Tom at the premiere in Hollywood. He was most gracious. He actually autographed for me the letter that Dad wrote to Dick about the Company of Heroes story. I brought it with me just in case. And I got his and Spielberg and Ambrose's autograph, and I'm not that person, but anyway.
I know what you mean.
Tom was very, very gracious. Well, we met several years later, which would be in 2011 in March. We met again at Dick Winter's memorial service in Hershey, which I was honored to represent our family there. Yeah. At the restaurant afterwards, ran into Tom and he said, "Hey, my granny's daughter, how are you doing?" Mind you, I hadn't contacted him in 10 years, but he remembered who I was. But then, and this is the punchline that I think is fantastic, he said, "Well, wait a minute. I should call you Al Capone's daughter." And that's what Pop said to me. I thought it was brilliant.
Wow. That's fantastic. The fact, it just shows, you know, it shows the dignity of the man and the humility that he's remembered you, and he obviously the importance of the story and everything, and that he's followed in his way as well. He's followed my career. So that really makes me feel very humble. That's amazing.
He is totally humble, and he was so influenced and moved and really says his life changed with the time he spent with the filming. I mean, he just said, I mean, it was kind of a whole, you know, landmark shift in how he looked at veterans, how he looked at war. Yes, he'd done Saving Private Ryan, but this was different. And he really remains devoted to veterans and, you know, their causes. And
that's absolutely amazing. And I love the fact that he called you Al Capone's daughter as well. That's great. That's great. That's superb.
One more thing I want to ask you, Kathy, is about the letter and the famous quote. For those who watch Band of Brothers, you remember the interviews with the veterans at the beginning of each episode. And I think it was the final one, the very last one in the series, and when Dick Winters quotes Mike Rani, when he says, "I cherish the memories of a question my grandson asked me the other day when he said, 'Grandpa, were you a hero in the war?' Grandpa said, 'No, but I served in a company of heroes.'"
That video, just that short clip, is, you know, all over the internet. And I have to tell you, I can't watch it without breaking down. Dick was a really close friend and stoic as the day is long. And to watch Dick try to struggle to not break down as he's telling the story just broke my heart. But that just shows what these men meant to each other. My dad called them the family. But what I would like to do is, Dick sent to me the original letter that my dad wrote to him. And I would like to make a beautiful photocopy of it for you and send it to you. I would like you to have that letter that my dad sent to Dick.
Thank you so much.
And that's the one with the quote in it that Dick Winters reads out.
Yes.
Oh, that'll go pride of place in my house there. Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel like this is Christmas today. This is beautiful. This is beautiful.
Kathy, stay on the line. I've got a few more questions for Stephen about his work on the show. And we'll get you back on in just a sec.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Thanks,
Stephen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
I want to talk more about your role in the show. Did you do boot camp?
Well, what happened with the whole situation was I was unable to do boot camp because I was filming something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, which also in many respects, as far as the acting and stuff went in a way, you know, because my character wasn't going all the way through the series. But to me, with great stories and with great pieces of work, great dramatizations, to me, there's no small parts. There's only small actors, you know, actors who have egos and say, "Well, that's not good enough for me. That's not big enough for me."
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was the fact of playing a man who had served in this great war with these great people and the sacrifice. Because basically, what to me it was a self-sacrifice that he made. Do you know what I mean? For the greater good of the company. So it was kind of, I'd missed the boot camp, but But instantly, what was great about it was all the other lads, all the other actors, when I turned up, because I came a bit late because I was filming, but everybody just immediately made me feel at home. Do you know what I mean? I was completely accepted and taken in as one of them. And they were telling me straight away about things, you know, the funny things that happened at boot camp, the late nights, the one where they made them stay awake all night. And they were giving me lessons in how to, you know, how to load my gun, how to look after the weapon and stuff like that. And how to,
now, who gave you that training? Would that have been the cadre or was that just the other actors?
Well, it was mostly the other actors, to be honest with you. Yeah, I did get a lot away from the cadre and stuff, you know what I mean? And the specialists that were on show, on site every day we were filming to help us.
Did you get yelled at any time?
I think I did once, yeah, by Captain Dale Dye. I think I did once.
Oh, you've got to tell us about that because we love Captain Dye stories.
Well, I think it was a case of, did he say you had to call it your gun or your weapon?
Yeah, you don't call it your gun, you've got to call it your weapon. Yes, he was very strict, yeah.
Yeah, and we did actually do this like big march. I mean, that was the other thing. Every morning you'd come in, you'd have to get dressed, you'd have to march to set. But it would be like, you know, we'd go on a little platoon march kind of thing. I've been away for a few days. We'd all been away for a few days and we'd come back. We'd had a tiny little hiatus, I think. And you know, so it takes you a little bit of time to get into work, doesn't it, now and again, to get into the moment and all that and everything and get yourself sorted. And I think I was having a cup of tea and I put it down by the side and just walked over and went, ready! I thought, shit, what's going on? Never leave your weapon unattended, boy. You make sure you pick that weapon up. That weapon is your life. That weapon is your wife. You should love that weapon and sleep with that weapon. I thought, shit, I'm in Full Metal Jacket here. I was half sitting down. I went, I'm just having a cup of tea. And he's like, come on, you namby-pamby actors, get your shit together and move. So it was a bit like, wow, okay, yeah, we're in it. But was that kind of thing was great because it kept us all focused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, and he was a lovely fellow. We did get on. He never apologised, obviously, because that's not within his nature. But I think he did endear to me in a while. I think at first he couldn't understand the word I was saying unless I spoke in character. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's one of the things.
I don't think he'd met many little scousers before in his day.
They insisted everybody remain in character basically for the entire shoot. Was that the case for you? And how did you feel about that?
Yeah, that's right. And then you'd occasionally, I mean, we'd be in it and that, and you know, don't get me wrong, we never kept it going completely. We did immerse ourselves in it, and a lot of the lads stayed in the accent and stuff like that. But every now and again, I'd break off into my own little accent just to keep my sanity, you know what I mean? But it was great, you know, it was a hell of an experience, and especially as you just mentioned, little Phil Baratini, because he's another little scouser, so me and Phil used to have a laugh, and I really got on. I made a great friend on that job. I mean, whenever I see the others, you know, there's a great camaraderie between us. But I had a great friendship with Donnie Wahlberg. We got on really well during that shoot because most of my stuff was with him. So we did build a great relationship.
Who else did you bond with, would you say, on set? Because we know that a lot of the time you were a sergeant, so were you segregated a bit from the regiment? The other actors?
Yeah, a little bit, but in the same respect, when you take your gear off, do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, what happens? And it's our duty and it's our job, and we're obliged to portray these men to the utmost of our integrity and to be as honest as we can with these roles. You take your uniform off and you slightly decompress. Do you know what I mean? And then I'd go home to Hannah, my lovely wife, and chill out and have a little bit of dinner and stuff. But sometimes we'd go for a drink together afterwards as actors. We went on a couple of nights out a few times. And that was great, you know what I mean? Because it's so intense, filming something like that. It's so intense and it's such an emotional journey that you're going on with these people. So it is nice to just chill out a little bit and let your hair down. And then the next day, as soon as you're going, bang, you're on point again and you're half focused and you're ready for the day. You're ready for whatever the day throws at you, really.
Now, did you keep any souvenirs from the show? We've heard some of the guys kept their boots. Most of the guys kept their boots. Did you keep anything from the show?
Yeah, I kept my hat and my my dog tags.
Your hat and your dog tags?
Yeah, I kept my hat and my dog tags, and they're both upstairs in the spare room. Yeah, in a nice little box. I'm not a kleptomaniac, but I do take something from every job I do, more or less.
Right.
So, yeah, so they're up there with my hat, and they're up there with my axe from down in New York, and my long coat from Snatch. And
nice.
And my shoes and my other hat from Al Capone, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, so you know,
I keep some things.
Nolan Hemmings put a trench coat on and just walked out with the whole uniform, grenades and everything. Now,
yeah, good lad.
How would you sum up the men of Easy Company, the men that you portrayed?
Extremely courageous. Hell of a moral compass. Dignified, honourable, and like it is what it says. You know, like the title is, they were a band of brothers. Like you explained before, you touched on it earlier on. These are people whose life was in each other's hands, and you have to have the back of the man in front of you, and you have to be aware and comfortable in the knowledge that the man behind you would also have your back. So they were a band of brothers. They were courageous and had such dignity, and as I can say again, just so much courage. You know what I mean? To be able to fight and go into them situations, and basically, you know, we owe our existence to them people today. You know, from all different companies, from the British Army, from the American Army, from the French, from the Dutch, the Belgians, all them great men that fought for us to have this existence and this life that we have today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great answer. That sums it up perfectly.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Very much. That was quite profound there, a little shelter, one, I thought. I went quite deep there for a second, but that's how it makes me feel, you know what I mean? And I'm so proud to be a part of it. And if you look at it, even if you look at it on the aspect of how many great actors have come from that series itself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who've gone on to do great work. Every single person has gone on. So that's down to the likes of Tom and obviously Mr. Spielberg and the casting director, who found this great bunch of young, because we were all quite young,
mm-hmm.
these young actors, American and English, and kind of put us together, and we all gelled together, and we all got on in our way, you know what I mean? And everybody did. It did kind of feel like you was looking after each other, you know what I mean? You have to, with acting, you have to create an atmosphere where you trust people so you can express yourself and you can go to these places that you need to go to.
Yeah.
And I felt camaraderie amongst the actors themselves, and the amount of trust that we had for each other was unbelievable.
It's definitely, I think, it's going to be hard to top that. It's an epic miniseries. It's the best, in my opinion, it's the best World War II series out there ever.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard to top that. And as you say, the camaraderie with the guys, that doesn't come, you know yourself as an actor, that doesn't come in every job.
No.
The bond that you guys had. There's reunions going on every year in America at Kudlitz's place. There's now these European reunions going on. So, and this is like 15 years later or something like that. So I think it's a testament to the series. Now, Kathleen, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Kathleen, just to finish up, did you have a question for Stephen? Is there anything else that you wanted to say before we end the interview?
No, and I'll tell you why, because you asked the question I was going to ask. What did you know about, you know, Dad, and how did you get into this? But I would make one observation that I just wanted to make, and it's the camaraderie amongst those men was lifelong. Dad did a newsletter, updated everybody on what they were doing. Oh, and by the way, we're talking about Walbert. Carwood Lipton was probably who he may have respected most. And it was, of course, what they did during the war, but more importantly, it's what they did after the war. And the families they raised, the businesses they had. But what is just amazing is that camaraderie was generated in the actors. And it's like it sort of transcended this individual people in it to you captured what these men meant to each other and what you talked about, having your back and all those kind of things. It's also transcended to the children of Easy Company.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
we are doing our best to, you know, honor our fathers and keep their stories alive, which never would have been so public without Band of Brothers. And
yeah,
I express my gratitude to Tom Hanks and thanked him for portraying the story. And he got tears in his eyes, and they weren't, you know, Hollywood tears. They were no. Thank you. Thank your families. I was honored to do this. And it's just, I mean, I could, I'm not going to start crying on air, but I could, because it just means so much to me that I can hardly sometimes even grasp it.
Yeah.
It's Stephen and Kathy, it's incredible to have you two guys on the air at the same time. And that's what's wonderful about these interviews. And Kathy's been asking me for years now, when are you getting Stephen on the show?
Oh, yes, I have. And I know how busy that Stephen's been. So again, thank you very much for making yourself available and giving your insights into this, because it never gets old to hear about it. And I don't think it ever will. I think this miniseries will live on way past my lifetime.
Well, Kathy, I just want to say what an absolute pleasure it's been to talk to you. And as well, without getting teary on air, it's just an honor to be able to speak to you. And it to me, you know, as an actor, at the end of the day, it's a job. You know, sometimes, you know, we're not saving lives, we're not changing the world, but with little things like this, which means such a big thing to people, it's an honor to play your father. It was an absolute honor, and I hope that I played it with dignity and with grace. And it's just an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
You absolutely did, and you're not helping me not break down into tears on it.
Okay.
Thank you again, Stephen, and I will arrange to get the letter to you, which actually, the original and my father's jump wings are going to be on loan to the Gettysburg Museum, which has a Dick Winters exhibit that just opened Monday with his maps, his uniform, his lovely weapons.
lovely. And hopefully I'll see you in December.
In Bastogne, I hope.
There you go. You bring the letter to Bastogne and you give it to Stephen personally. There we go. How's that?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Right, okay, we'll set that up. Kathy, thanks very much for calling in today. We appreciate you taking the time.
Okay, well, thank you, Ross. Thank you, Stephen, very much. And y'all have a brilliant day.
Lovely.
Okay.
Have a nice day,
you too, Kathy.
Kathy.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Lots of love.
Lots of love to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, Stephen, what is it you've got coming up? What's in the pipeline for the next...
Well, ironically, I've just finished a series with Tom Hardy, who was also in Band of Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, I've just finished this series with Tom called Taboo, which Tom is the lead in, which was written by Steve Knight and Tom's dad, who's a fantastic writer. So that was great. You know, that was a fantastic series to do. That was all set in the 1800s in London. Oh, and I kind of play like the Arthur Dodger all grown up, basically.
Oh, you know brilliant. What I mean?
If you want a man killed, that and do it for you. If you want a prostitute, that and sort you out. That and do anything really for any price. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of character. So that's been great fun. And now I'm going to enjoy the summer with my family. And then I go to Liverpool. I'm going to play a detective who it's all based on true facts. It's, you remember the young boy that got shot in Liverpool, little Rhys Jones?
Yes.
He was walking home from football practice and he got shot in a car park in a pub. It's to play the lead detective, Dave Kelly, who solved that case. So that'll be very heavy and very intense. And again, you know, it's like what Kathy just said. It's for me, sometimes these jobs come around where you get to play somebody who's still alive, or you get to play someone who's unfortunately passed away.
Mm.
And it's trying to play that with dignity and with honor. And we have a duty to play these things to the best of our ability. Always maintain the truth of the story. So that's something I'm really excited about. It'll be very heavy, but you know, I'm going to have a great summer with my lovely wife, my beautiful kids, and I'm going to get ready for some heavy work in Liverpool. Called Little Boy Blue.
Little Boy Blue. Okay.
Yeah, Little Boy Blue, because he was a huge Evertonian.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, we'll watch out for that then. Stephen, thank you very much for taking the time to do this, as I said before, about a million times.
It's a pleasure.
And we'll get Bastogne all sorted out. I'll be in touch about that.
All right, mate. Nice one. Oh, lovely. Yeah, lovely. And you've got our email address and everything, Camille, and all that stuff.
I'll get all that sorted out. I've got you on Twitter. I'll get it in private from you there. And I've got your email. I think I may have your email address. If not, we'll sort it out. I'll tell you. Let me tell you who's coming. Jimmy Madio, who played Frank Paconti, is coming.
Yes, yeah, how lovely.
Ross McCall, played Liebgott. Frank John Hughes, Bill Garnier. Robin Lang, Babe Heffron. Shane Taylor, Eugene Rowe. Rick Gomez is coming, George Luz.
Oh, lovely, man, it'll be great. I haven't seen all these since we did it.
Nick Aaron, Popeye Wynn. Oh, he's...
Yeah, Popeye, mate, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Nick actually sent me a message. I don't know if you got it. I sent a message. He says, give my phone number to Stephen, ask him to give me a call sometime. He said, I miss him.
Yes, I will.
Ben Kaplan's coming, who played Smokey Gordon. Philip Bantini's coming with his granddad. Lucy Jean played Nurse Renee. Lamar, have you seen the series?
Yes, of course.
You know the Shane's episode, the nurse?
Yes.
She's coming as well, the French girl.
Lovely.
Peter O'Meara, who played Dyke. George Khalil, who played Mo Ali. Rick Warden, who played Harry Welsh.
Oh, nice one. That'd be amazing.
It's unbelievable. People come from all over the world to meet you guys. It's incredible.
That'd be amazing. Thank you. Yeah, buying the date and everything with Hannah.
All right, Stephen. Thanks again, pal.
You take care. It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much.
You too, man. Keep up the good work, Stephen.
All right, mate. You take care.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye, Ross.
Bye.
All right, mate. Bye-bye. Black Sky Radio.
It's probably one of your all-time favorite television series. And this December, it's your chance to meet the actors who portrayed some of World War II's most well-known paratroopers. Join the actors from television's Band of Brothers series this December in Bastogne, Belgium, as they gather to honor the veterans of the Battle of the Bulge and in support of the nonprofit World War II Foundation. For the past 2 years, the actors have reunited in Normandy, France, and thousands of people have had the opportunity to meet them. Now, for the first time, the actors are visiting another of the most historic locations of World War II, where the 101st Airborne Division held off German counterattack after counterattack during some of the most extreme weather conditions witnessed in the entire war. We hope you join us in Bastogne for 3 days of amazing events with the Band of Brothers actors and veterans. Please visit www.wwiifoundation.org. and click on our events link to order your tickets. The actors will see you in Bastogne, Belgium, December 9th through the 11th.
Hi, I'm Paul Woodedge, D-Day historian, a battlefield tour guide in Normandy, France. I offer tours of the D-Day landing beaches of 1944 along with my partner Magali. If you would like to find out more, see my website at www.ddayhistorian.com and my partner Magali's at www.ddayforyou.com. I am proud to be supporting The Ross Owen Show.
We'll be right back.
side.